Be seated. Well, as just said, we are going to be commissioning our newly elected elder. And if you don't know who he is, I'm going to ask one more time to stand up, Jeff. And also, Debbie doesn't like to have this, but if you could just want you to know his better half here. This is the Kovitzes. And they've been here for what? At least 6 years? Is that what it is? Pretty close to 6 years. They have faithfully served our youth ministry and have a deep, deep passion and love for our youth. I want to see our young people come to know Jesus in a much deeper way to be able to go out and be successful and continue to walk with Christ after they leave here. And so I've also asked Brian and Todd to be up front this morning, along with Robert, Gregory, and Don, who were previous elders. And I'm not sure how previous fits in there. They were elders, and I'm not sure if they ever leave their calling in that sense, but they are continually serving in a lot of different ways, and so I've asked them to be a part of what we're doing here. I want to speak to them directly. I'm also going to challenge us as a congregation. So I want to do a few things. I want to take a look at why we have elders here at PCC. I want to take a look at what the Scripture says about the qualifications for an elder. And again, we're just going to present these. We could spend weeks and weeks taking a look at this. I want to challenge Jeff particularly, but just as a reminder for the rest of the elders, the responsibilities that we have. And then I want to challenge you as a congregation what your responsibility is to the elders, to the spiritual leaders of the church. And then we're going to pray and commission Jeff into this role and this work that's ahead of him. So I've asked Robert to come up this morning first, and he can do that. And he's going to, the question is why do we have elders? And I think the clearest place for us to be able to figure that out is take a look at what the Scripture has to say. And so there's a few passages that he's going to read for us. Right here.
Acts 4.
Here, let's do this. I thought there was, forgot about a mic.
Yeah, my voice doesn't carry. It's good to have mic and glasses and other props here. First verse is Acts 14, verses 21 through 23. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Next is Titus 1:5. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And finally, 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching.
So it's very clear to see that in the very beginning in the New Testament church, Paul primarily went around establishing churches, and when he established a church, it says that he appointed elders, and their responsibility was to direct the affairs of the church, the spiritual responsibility for what God was doing there. So I think it's very, very clear, if we particularly want to be a church that's following after the pattern of the New Testament, that God desires people who can serve and watch over and take care of those affairs. It can't just be done without somebody leading that process. So we'll just leave it there. Qualifications. Again, Don, would you come forward? Don's going to read for us what the Bible has to say, and we'll talk about that just in a little second here. So you are down to here.
Okay.
Oops, sorry. There you go.
Fortunately, I don't need glasses yet, so. Our first reading is in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets in his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And our next reading is Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town, as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband but of one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.
So we got together right before service and all wrote our letters of resignation as we looked at those qualifications. But it's very important to have leaders with these qualifications if we're going to be healthy and the church that God wants us to be. And as the elders of PCC, it's our desire that we would grow and grow and grow in those areas that God laid out for us in here. And so you can please be praying for us as we pursue, with God's help and the Holy Spirit's help, being those kind of leaders. So a charge to primarily to you, Jeff. So if I'm not looking over you, I am talking to you, so I'm going to try to involve everybody. But it's also to the rest of you as elders, a reminder of what our responsibilities are as an elder. And I went to the passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 where Peter is speaking to some elders, and this is the words that he gave to them in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." I want to start by pointing out three ways that Peter identifies himself in this text. First, he identifies himself as a fellow elder, which I think is pretty amazing. Here's a guy who could have puffed himself up a little, but he's really saying, "I'm just one of the guys. I'm no better, I'm no smarter, I am one of the elders." And he had the same responsibility and the same calling and the same qualifications of the men that he was speaking to. And so we are fellow elders along with Peter and those who have served before us. And I think we just need to remember that as we think about the role we have. Not just a fellow elder, he was also, this is what maybe sets him apart quite a bit from us, he was a witness of Christ's suffering. If you remember, I read with the children, Peter was one of the very first apostles that Jesus called. He had spent 3 years with Jesus, so that means he walked with him, he talked with him, he laughed with him, he cried with him, he heard sermons, he watched him heal, he did all those things. And he was there. And he ultimately then watched him be arrested. He watched him suffer and he watched his death. None of us can say that about our own personal relationship with Jesus. That makes him pretty special. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know what happened with Peter. We know that three times Peter denied knowing who Jesus was. So much for being pretty special, right? It's amazing when we get ourselves thinking we're something that we're reminded very quickly that we're really no more than anybody else. You want to talk about mess up of mess ups? That was Peter. He denied that he knew him. So he was not only a fellow elder, he was a witness of Christ's sufferings, but here's the part I think we need to remember. He was also one who would share and the glory that was to be revealed. Of course, yep, we know Peter messed up really big. But Peter reminds us that his shepherd, our shepherd, forgave him and restored him completely. Peter says, I know when I die, I know when I leave, I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father, experiencing the glory and the beauty that will be mine for eternity in God's presence. The standard that we just read, the qualification set for the office of elder, is extremely high. It looks impossible from a human perspective, and if we're looking at it from a human perspective, it is impossible. Only when we stay connected to the vine, only when we're remaining in Christ and seeking after Him and being filled with the Spirit can we do what God is asking us to do. And we, just like Peter, we're human. We are going to mess up. That's why Jesus came in the first place, because we messed up, so that He could restore that relationship. And we're asking that you and myself and all of us, really, that we would strive to be who God has called us to be. So what is it that we're asked to do? Here's the things that He tells us. He wants us to be shepherds. That's the first thing we see in this text. He says, be shepherds. That's a command that's given to the elders. It's not like you have an option. You can't say, well, I don't like the idea of shepherding. I'm going to let somebody else do that. That's not part of the deal. I don't like people. Well, if you don't like people, you shouldn't be an elder. That's not a good option there. We are told to shepherd the people that God brings to Pompey Community Church. And the word shepherd means to tend. And so it's feeding, it's caring, it's leading and guiding and protecting. And that's a role that God has given to the elders. That same word is the word that Jesus used with Peter when He asked them 3 times, if you love me. And then at the very end of those statements, He commanded him to shepherd the flock. You need to shepherd the flock. So that's primary responsibility. Second thing is that we are to be servants. We are to serve. I like how Peter says at the end of verse 2, he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Eager to serve. Why would Peter have to say this to the elders that he was talking to at that time? I'm pretty sure it's because Peter probably thought back into his own life that on those times that he didn't do really well with that whole thing. Peter probably remembers those discussions that the disciples were having that Jesus always happened to hear and understand when they were talking about who's going to be the greatest, who's the most important leader, who's the closest to Jesus. And Peter remembered those debates. And of course, Jesus lovingly one time tells them, whoever wants to be, this is another, the message, not translation, but paraphrase. Whoever wants to be top dog must become like this little child. And Peter probably remembered that. Peter must have remembered Jesus' word found in Mark 10, where Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And that's the ultimate sacrifice that we saw Jesus make, isn't it? There's only one boss. There's only one leader, and it's not you, and it's not me, it's God. He is our leader, God alone, and you and I are to be servants. Even though right now we might not be the best, we're to strive to become better and better and better. Paul called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. He never claimed leadership. He always referred to himself as doulos, as a slave. And that's what we're to do. One more thing from our text. Peter tells the elders that they are to be examples to the flock. They're to be examples to follow. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Elders lead by example, not by force. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, everyone will read your Bibles, poof, and you read your Bible. Everyone will pray, and you will pray. That's not the way to do it. And so as elders, I say more by your example. And so if you want folks to read your Bible, I would be talking about what God is teaching you in your Bible reading. If you want to talk about what God is speaking to you as you spend time in prayer, I would say let people know what God is speaking to as you spend time in that fellowship with him. We can tell people that they need to work on their marriages, but if we're not working on our marriages, becoming more and more who God wants us to be there, so they can have an example to follow. You get the idea. We are to be examples. We are to be examples of humility and servanthood. We're to shepherd, we're to serve, and we're to be an example. So at this point, I'm going to ask Jeff to come up here in the middle chair, and ask the other elders to come up. As you're doing that, I'm going to ask Jeff if you would take your shoes off. Jesus left an example of what servant leadership looked like. Jesus, God in flesh, came. All right, before he left, the last thing he did for his disciples was he took the task of somebody who would have been the lowest rung of society. He wanted to show them what being a leader looked like. I want to read John 13, starting with verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jeff, by your testimony that you have shared and through an application process that you work very hard at, by your faithful service at PCC, we have no doubt that Jesus is your personal Lord and your Savior, and he's your teacher. And our desire, as it says in verse 17, is as you serve here as an elder, that you will be blessed by God as you live your life as this example. I've asked Todd if he would, by example that Jesus set, just wash your feet. No ice cubes. Charge to the congregation. This is your responsibility to those who have been called to be the elders here. Number one, honor those who are in leadership. And as I speak of the elders and the leadership, you also know that we have a board who faithfully serves. And so this charge really goes to those who serve in that role as well. So I don't want to forget our board who works very, very hard and is working hard for us right now. So as you think of that, you can be thinking of them. But honor those. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and warn you against all that is wrong." And the scripture really says that we are to honor. Another word that it could be translated be to respect. The elders carry a responsibility that's different than others in the church. And they're expected to be good examples and to encourage them. The scripture tells us to honor them. Secondly, a charge to you is that you'd hold them in the highest regard in love. That you'd hold them in the highest regard in love. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." The New Century Version says it like this: "Respect them with a very special love because of the work they do. Live in peace with each other." The Message: "Overwhelm them with appreciation and love." So you get the idea. They work very hard, and God wants us to encourage them and to support them. And when believers respect their leaders and join with them in the work of the kingdom, the church will grow. And I would encourage you, if you've been blessed by one of the things that an elder has done, a leader has done, let them know. Let them know that you appreciate their service. Number three, obey your leaders. Of course, we tell our children all the time they need to obey, right? Here, the scripture tells us that we are to obey. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. There's a word we all love, right? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as a man who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Why would we obey them? I guess one, we're told to. That's what we tell our kids, right? I told you. That's why. The Bible makes it very clear. It's also their responsibility to watch over our lives spiritually. And it helps them to do their job and to carry it out with joy when there are people who are obeying and listening and doing the things that they've been asked by them. So I encourage you, one, always be praying for the leaders. I would ask that you to honor them, to hold them in the highest regard and love, that you would obey them. And so if you, the congregation of PCC, are in agreement with what your responsibility as a congregation is in regard to those who have been chosen to be elders, would you respond by saying as loud as you can, we will.
We will.
Amen. Jeff, we would like to pray for you and anoint you with oil. In the Old Testament, the oil was used to set apart things for ministry, to make them holy. It's not going to make you any holier today because we put a little oil on your head. But it is just a symbol of setting apart of this work and this ministry that you have. So would you mind, I know you don't like to be up front, would you come up with us and that would be great. Guys, won't we just, you sit right there. Yep, Don, you can, we're going to put your wife right next to you. Guys, would you come around them in the back here? Yeah, please. You can come right around here too. That'd be great. What? Would you bow your heads with me and if you could just extend your hand? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Jeff Kovitz, for his family, Lord, as they have faithfully served you and they've grown in their own relationship with you and they've proven through faithful ministry here their commitment to serve you and to walk in obedience to you. We thank you for Jeff's willingness to serve as an elder at PCC. And Father, we pray that you would just fill him powerfully, Lord, fill all of us with your Spirit. Help us to walk in step with your Spirit, not to do it in our own strength and our power. We pray, Lord, that Jeff's ministry would be blessed and that, Lord, there'd be fruit, very, very, very much fruit as we watch lives changed and people come to know you. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help Jeff to just sense the love of this congregation and be used mightily and powerfully for your work. We thank you for Debbie and her support and her care of her husband, for her ministry here and for all that she does as well. And just pray, Lord, as she supports Jeff in this endeavor, that, Lord, she would sense your strengthening and power for all this as well. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. And we just pray your blessing on Jeff as we set him apart for this ministry. It's your most precious name that we pray, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I'd like you to welcome Jeff as our newest elder. God bless you. Well, I thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here today. Pray that your day is just filled with... Oh, yes, what I meant to say... Brian so lovingly reminded me, we are going to share around the communion table today, and I've asked Jeff to lead us in that. And so, Jeff, you can come right up to the podium. Sorry, it's a beautiful day, and I'm just thinking that... but I do not want to miss communion, so... Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, so please join me today as we are remembering our Savior, the life that he lived, the death that he died, and then ultimately his resurrection and the covering of our sins. So we're going to have a congregational response reading. So I'm going to read the first slide, and then there should be a slide right after that that you will then respond. Okay. As we come to the Lord's table, let us come with a spirit of humility and penitence. Let us examine ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, our motives, and our attitudes towards others.
Holy God, have mercy and forgive us our shortcomings.
Help us to remember our responsibility to our families and our neighbors, our stewardship to you, and the work you have given to our hands. As we eat the bread, which represents your body, which is the true and living bread, open our eyes to recognize the intimacy that you yearn to share with us. As we drink the cup, which represents Christ's blood shed for us, we thank you for the new covenant. Love ye one another, which is written on our hearts. Let us rejoice because our names are written in heaven. May this Lord's Supper energize every area of our lives and enable us to transcend our circumstances, our inadequacies, and our enemies. We praise you, O God, who makes us your own people through the death and the resurrection of your Son, our Lord. We now invite anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior to the table. You do not necessarily need to be a member of PCC to receive the elements. Please come forward now and receive both of the elements and return to your seats. We will take them together. If there is someone next to you who needs your help getting the elements, please help them to do so. Come forward. Thank you. Jesus said these words in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take the bread now and eat it. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take the cup and drink it now. Let's pray. Father God, as you've told us through your servant Paul in Romans, we are all sinners and we do fall short of your glory. Thankfully, your plan for all of us was to send your son Jesus on this earth to live a sinless life, to ultimately die on the cross, taking all of our sins and covering them with his blood, then conquering death, rising again, and ascending to heaven to be with you, to be with you on heaven's mercy seat, as we heard this morning in the song. Jesus, we wait for you with joy in anticipation and eagerness for your return. As stated through John in Revelation, you will be coming in on the clouds and every eye will see you. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. Amen. If you have any prayer requests or need some prayer, there will be folks over here by the cross this morning to sit with you and pray with you. I think we're dismissed.